Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Bishop Herbert Bailey continues with, This is Love.
Some of us were blessed simply because of the mercy of God. Some of us say, I thank God for the mercy of God. Come on, you didn't deserve it. You didn't come to church enough. Come on, you skipped your tithe. You've been lying about your tithe. There ain't a whole tithe. You're tithing after you done take 5% out for this and 5% for that and got a savings bond going here and you got your 401k here and then after all that and you pay for your medical and you pay for your cancer insurance and you pay for all this other stuff and your disability and now you're taking what's left, say you give God a tithe. That ain't no tithe. And God blessing you anyway. Somebody say, thank you for your mercy. So God says, listen, he says, He reigns on the just and the unjust. So Paul says love is patient. It's kind. It's not jealous. It's not boastful. It's not proud. Watch this. Or rude. Everybody say, Lord, help me not to be rude. Now, you need to understand. I discovered this. Some people, what you consider funny, other people call rude. So when they say rude, just apologize. Because it was rude to them. You didn't mean any harm. But it was rude to the people. Said, that was rude. No, I was just kidding, but that's all right. It's rude to you, so I'm going to apologize. Can I tell you, sometimes love is taking the L. Oh, y'all didn't like that. Let me try this side. Sometimes love is taking the L. Sometimes love is not pushing your right. Sometimes love is simply not defending yourself, saying, okay, fine. I have discovered that even as a pastor. Because as a pastor in this church, I realize I always got to be the bigger person. Okay? People have lied to me. Lied on me. And I've called them up and left Texas. And after they left and I heard that they said this or that, I said, I just want to let you know I heard you said such and such and such and such. Now, I don't believe that was true. However, if that's how you saw that and that's how you interpreted that, then I apologize for ever doing that. So the last thing they got from me was an apology while they were talking about me. Sometimes love is just being the bigger person, y'all. Sometimes love means not getting on their level. Sometimes love means not groveling down in the dirt where they're trying to pull you down to. Man, there's some good preaching here. It's not rude. Watch it. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. They say, Lord. Come on, everybody say, Lord, help me. Not to be irritable, even when it's hot. Y'all know black folk get irritable when it's hot. It's hot. Like that give you a reason to cuss me out. It's hot. That ain't got nothing to do with nothing. It's hot. I didn't mean to say that, but it's hot. What that got to do with this? You got to love even when it's hot. Not irritable. It keeps no record of being wrong. Now, y'all know we need help there. No record, even when you're married, and you did it 20 years ago. This is to all the wives. He put that in the scripture for the wives. Brothers, y'all know your wives remember the date, the time, what you had on, what she had on, where you were at. No. No, I'm sorry, I'm never going to. You said that last time you did it. You did it last year. Last year on the same date, the same time, you did the same. How do you remember that? You got to grow in love. Love keeps no record. I don't know if they're writing it down, if they're keeping a log in the phone. Love keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice in injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Okay? Love never loses faith. See, that's why marriages can work if you do it God's way. It never gives up. It never loses faith. Is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. When I was meditating this, I said, I believe this is there because this is impossible to do in the natural. Just reading this keep you praying. Just reading this say, I need God. I mean, when you read this here, it make you bust out in the song. I need just a little more Jesus. Come on, when you read that, you realize, I need more Jesus. Come on now. Because you can't do this stuff in the natural. So it keeps us pushing towards God. It keeps us growing. It keeps us in his face. It keeps us asking him to help us. So I said I wanted to give you 10 indicators that the love of God is growing and being perfected in you. So we see the standard. We see the standard established by Paul. We see the standard as established by Jesus. And none of that is what you stuff you can do in the natural. So how to know if you're really in love or grown in love? Number one, you're patient with people. If you have the love of God in you and growing in the love of God, you are patient with people. Everybody say, Lord, help me be patient with people. We just saw that love is patient and kind. There's another word that the scripture uses. It's called long suffering. Long suffering. I meant to have them to prepare for this today. Okay, I'm going to do the best I can. Okay, let me see what's closest one I can get to here. It's long suffering. Long suffering. I'm good. I'm good. For the sake of this is good. Long. Everybody say long suffering. So this mic has a long cord, long wire. So now, even though you do something that sparks something and it starts. Because in long suffering, you put it out before they ever explode. You heard it before. Some people have what they call a short fuse. Short fuse. I mean, it can't stand anything. As soon as something's done, you lash out. Doesn't take much. You're very touchy, very irritable. Watch this. Real sensitive to everything. When you grow in the love of God, it helps you to be patient with people. Ephesians 4:2 says, Paul says, with all lowliness and meekness. Meekness is not weakness. When we think of meek, think about a horse that allows those little old jockeys. Okay? Because if you ever watch the Kentucky Derby or watch, you know, they try to get the smallest men ever born to ride that horse because they don't want it to be weighting the horse down. So they want the horse to be light. And then there's another name for it. I'm going to call it a whip in their hands. And they're whipping that horse. Now, that horse could at any moment say, hey, I ain't taking this from you. Get off me. It could. The horse has the ability to do it, has the strength to do it, but the horse is merely being meek. It's not weak. Meekness is strength under control. Meekness is saying, I could, but I won't. Meekness is saying, I got the right to, but I won't. And so with all meekness and long suffering, suffers long. Forbearing one another in love. The New Living Translation says, be patient with each other. Here we go. Making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. You cannot be married without making allowances for each other's faults. Television was on the other night, Friday night, and Pastor Marston and I was on. We saw this show that I'd never seen before. They were called Family or something. And the husband and wife, they started complaining about each other. And they were going at it. I don't like when you do this. I don't like when you do this. I don't like when you do that. I don't like when you do this. And boy, they went on and on and on. It was a comedy, you know. They went on. But I was listening to that, and I was kind of laughing at myself because all these are things that a lot of people in marriage don't like. But you don't verbalize it. Okay? Because you're being forbearing. Okay? Forbearing means, it literally means putting up with. Everybody say, Lord, help me to put up with other people's faults. Because I got enough of my own. That's what you need to add to that prayer. You have enough of your own faults. So you might as well put up with somebody else's because you're going to need somebody to put up with yours. You're going to need someone not to bring to your attention everything you're always doing wrong or saying wrong. So you're going to have to learn to forbear with one another. Forbearing, it means to make allowances. Watch this. It didn't say make excuses. Make allowances. The thing is, every couple that's married, I don't know why I'm you keep using marriage as an example, because really it's the greatest place where love is proven. That's why I keep going back to marriage. It's the greatest place where love. See, your love ain't proven in that relationship when you shacking and you say, I'm out. Ain't no proof of love in that. Anybody can leave. Love, can you stay? Do you have enough of love to stay? That's the deal. Anybody can leave. Okay? And so in a marriage, when other people outside the marriage see the faults of your spouse, other people either say or think in their mind, I don't know how she takes such and such. Ain't no way I believe. Ain't no way my wife would. Ain't no way I could. Ain't no way he would. You know why? Because to be married, they've learned to forbear with one another. And you don't have to forbear with them because you ain't married to them. So mind your own beeswax. On the other hand, most people, if you're smart, you don't show all your faults to other people. So you're around looking, I wish I had a husband like. I said a couple weeks ago, you know, about I hold the door, open up the door for Pastor Moss all the time. A lot of y'all probably say, man, I wish I had my husband held the door for me. But there's some stuff I don't do. That's one of the things I didn't tell you what I don't do. I tell you what I do. You understand? Well, I wish I had. I need a husband like that to hold the door. See, no, you better hold on what you got. I'll tell you what I do. I didn't tell you what I don't do. Somebody said to us the other day, they said, Pastor, we probably never have a marriage like yours. I said, you can have better. We going to tell you how to have better. So love has a long fuse. Let me give you number two. Number two, this one really challenges us. And these are not necessarily in sequential order. But number two, you pray for yourself regarding people you have issues and problems with. We're going to get to praying for them, but you pray for yourself regarding people you have issues and problems with. So your prayer ends up being, because you want to be a person of love, Lord, help me to put up with so-and-so. Lord, help me to forbear with so-and-so. Father, give me your love so I don't respond in a negative way to so-and-so. God, help me to smile when I see them, even though I don't feel like smiling, but I know that smiling is the loving thing to do. God, help me to speak to them when I want to cuss them out, because speaking to them and not cussing them is the godly, loving thing to do. You pray for yourself regarding people you have issues with. Which means you're taking some personal responsibility. Because to be one of the biggest things that in the case of being mature is you take personal responsibility. Adam, the first thing he did after he sinned, have you eaten of the fruit of this woman you gave me? Not taking responsibility. The Bible says this. It says, judge yourselves whether you be in the faith. He said, make sure you're measuring up. It is so easy to point fingers at other people. When's the last time you prayed for yourself regarding your issues with that person? Rather than just talk about that person, Pray, God, I need you to help me with this person. I need you to help me with this situation. I need you to help me get past that and get over this. Father, take these feelings away from me. But until you do, help me to walk through it and act loving anyway. David, Psalm 51 and verse 10. His prayer after Nathan tells him, God is not pleased with you because you had adultery with another man's wife, then you try to cover it up, and you got the woman pregnant, then you try to cover up by getting her husband killed and have them murdered and all that. He said, God's not pleased. And David did not pray. He said he didn't pray because, remember, they lived pretty close to his house, and she was out on the rooftop bathing or whatever. Okay? I got to ask Bathsheba, what was up with that? Anyway, she knew the king was over. Anyway. I never thought this. She may have had that Mrs. Potiphar spirit. Lie with me. Anyway, he commits. And he does not pray, God, help Bathsheba to move. Lord, help that woman not to come out on that rooftop again. Lord, take her beauty away from her. No. He prayed, God, and this is about this incident. This is about his issues with lust and adultery and murder. He prays for himself. Psalm 51 and 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. What's he doing? He's praying for himself. When's the last time you prayed for yourself regarding your issues with somebody else? I grew up in the church. We used to sing a song many years ago. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother, not my father, but it's me, oh Lord. Not my sister, not my brother, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the prayer. Pray for yourself. You know, people say, you know, people mind somebody's business, say, worry about yourself. That's what God's saying to you right now. Worry about yourself. Worry about yourself. Look like you're gaining a little weight. Worry about yourself. About yourself. Let me give you number three and I'm done. So after praying first for yourself, and then number three, when you really grow in the love of God, when you pray for them. Notice I didn't say pray about them. I said pray for them. Not get them God prayers. Pray for them. Jesus said, Matthew 5:44, I say unto you, love your enemies. He's not talking about feeling good about your enemies, because you're not going to feel good about your enemies, y'all. He said, love them despite what you're feeling about them. Bless them, which means to do good. Bless them that curse you. And when it says curse, it's not talking about cussing you. And you know, you do that for them too, but that's not what, when it says curse you, it means he's saying you speak good about them, desire good for them, even though they're speaking bad about you, desiring bad for you. That's the love of God. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. You need the love of God to do this, and when you do it, you're growing the love of God. So how do you do that? Everything that they may be wishing or you think an enemy would wish against you, you pray the opposite of that for them. Watch this. God, I pray that you bless them. I pray that you increase them. Father, I pray that they do well financially. Father, I pray for promotion and favor in their life. Father, I pray for their healing and their deliverance. Now, some of y'all said, now, this is crazy. What type of cult is this? Jesus said, pray for them. Pray. Can I really tell you what I believe that prayer is doing most of all? It's getting all that stuff out of you. When you pray for them, it's getting all that stuff up out of you. All that stuff that's keeping you connected with them. All that stuff that's keeping you in the knot about them. All that stuff that's keeping you that's keeping you locked up and staying up at night. God has spoke to me and said, listen, he said, that preacher there, I ain't done it yet, but he just spoke to me. He told me, that preacher there, you don't like, he sent him an offering. I ain't done it, but he told me. Anytime I go about that, he keep bringing it up to me. I think I'm going to add some interest to it. He sent him an offering. He bless them that curse you, that wish bad about you. Do something good for them. They're speaking decrease over you. Help them increase. That is really the love of God. Another scripture talks about it and bring it up. He said, and then by doing it, you heap coals of fire on their head. Coals of fire. And Mother Mary teach about that, but when I study, ain't really what it means. It said, you make them hot. That make them mad. Now, that ain't the purpose. That's not what. But it's really told me, it allows God to deal with their conscience. That they start thinking about it. Mother Mary said, he coals of fire on their head. They can't sleep at night. And make them mad. No, you're not doing stuff to make them mad. Okay? But you do want people to deal with their own selves. But in the meantime, you pray for them. So that's all I'm going to give you for today. Everybody, come on, stand with me. We're going to pray for ourselves. We're going to start praying for our enemies right now. Amen. Now, think about them. You know who they are. Some of y'all want to get Twitter out and tweet to your 5 followers. And say to all my haters, I'm praying for you right now in church. I told you, I saw somebody do that one time. I was following just because I was their pastor and I felt sorry for them. They didn't have no followers and they had followed me, and I looked back, they had my 5 people. So I said, let me be number 6. And they tweeted something like, to all my haters, I'm going to be successful anyway. I'm like, who are you talking to? You don't have many, and most people follow you on haters. Most. I mean, you get a few. I want to let you know, if you hate on me on social media, I block you. I don't have time for that. I don't care. If you, what you follow me for? And Facebook's going to be friends. It's not enemies. You don't like me, don't follow me. Really, I make real simple. I block you. And my kids have told me, Dad, you can't block people. You're a pastor. Yes, I can. No, come on, really. I mean, really. I mean, there's a whole bunch of churches. It's preachers who don't preach prosperity. Amen. It's preachers who don't say the things I say. Follow them. Amen. Lift your hands to the Lord. Say, Lord, I declare that I'm going to love people because you love me. I declare in Jesus' name that I have patience with people. I have a long fuse. I'm long-suffering, and I ask you for the ability to put up with and make allowances for other people's faults, because you look beyond my faults and you saw my needs. You reign on the just and on the unjust. I declare that I have that kind of love dwelling on the inside of me. And Father, I pray for myself that I have the right attitude, the right response, the right reaction despite what other people do. I declare I'm not jealous or angry or resentful about anyone. I don't keep a record of wrongs. Thank you, Lord, for helping me to love people the way I want to be loved, to respond to people the way I want to be responded to be patient with people the way I want people to be patient with me. Create in me clean heart. Put the right spirit within me. And right now, Father, because your word says it, I pray for my enemies. All those that don't like me with desire to see me fail or decrease, I speak your blessings upon them right now. I declare they're blessed. their needs are met. They're out of debt. They got plenty more to put in store. Thank you, Lord. Favor surrounds them like a shield. And I thank you, Lord, that your love in me shows up in them. In the name of Jesus, I declare I'm released from all unforgiveness, all hate, all bad attitudes, in Jesus' name, because the love of God dwells in me.
God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. He loves us perfectly and unashamedly. Bishop Herbert Bailey encourages you to believe God's unexplainable, crazy love that He has for you. Order this powerful series today on CD or DVD. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Order Believe the Love.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.